Next on BYUSN, practice number one of BYU football training camp in the books for the Cougars. We've got you covered with the best sound and biggest takeaways from yesterday, including head coach Kalani Sitake and what he liked the most from day one, an update on the quarterback battle, and the improvement of the offensive line.
And assistant coach Kelly Papinga details what stood out to him from the defensive side of the ball on day one. And after announcing he's medically retiring, BYU linebacker Ben Bywater will join us in studio to look back on his career and look ahead to his future.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, a loaded edition to kick off August, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Yes, it is a happy Thursday, August 1st. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who's thinking about investing in a food truck, Blaine Fowler.
Yes. I mean, you saw this. We were talking about it this morning. It's called the Brigham's Wagon Food Truck. Like, I'm actually pumped about this thing, right? So BYU now has a food truck where you can get it, and it looks like it's going to be mostly burgers and fries and that kind of stuff. But you can rent this food truck out for an activity, a private event. You email brighamswagon@byu.edu. Two questions I have. First of all, do they have the mint brownies?
Okay.
Because from BYU's, like, takeaway place, that's a staple. It's like one of the four food groups for our family.
Cougar Tails and mint brownies.
Mint brownies and Cougar Tails. Do you have both of those on board? And then secondly, if you're in charge of Trek, can you hire out the food wagon to supply the food and it just follows your Trek along? And I know it's not realistic because back in the real Trek days, you know, when the pioneers were coming across the plains, they didn't have the food truck. But you know what? When everybody's eating, they're all happy.
It's way better.
They can hike all day if they feel good. So I think we're going to have to check into if you can use the wagon for your trek.
And we need to see if we can use the wagon, Brigham's wagon.
That's right.
To cater some of our events. Yes. Our crews work hard. We got to feed the crews.
Yes.
Because a well-fed crew is a happy crew and a high-performing crew. Brigham's wagon.
Yeah, and by the way you saw the pictures, it looks pretty fun.
Burgers and mint brownies for Blaine Fowler, please. On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
I'm loving the heat.
It's good to have competition all the time.
And both guys did a great job. I like the running back group right now.
About to juice up.
We have so many returners. Going against this defense is going to be the best training for us all fall camp.
Hey, forget the limited menu of a food truck. We've got a full kitchen of football to discuss on today's show because BYU football training camp is officially underway. And as we predicted early in the week, it came with major headlines, beginning with something that, frankly, is quite a bummer, Blaine.
Yeah.
Our guy, Ben Bywater, linebacker, and one of the guys that we thought when he announced he was coming back would really bring a boost to the BYU defense, natural leader, a captain shoo-in. And then we got caught wind a couple of months ago that things were not going well with the shoulder surgery recovery. Ultimately, he announces yesterday that he is medically retiring from football for the time being. Here is that official announcement from linebacker Ben Bywater.
That is not good. It's obviously I'm in street clothes right now. Wish I was out there with those guys. But had some tough conversations the other day where my shoulders, you know, I'm not cleared to go, not medically cleared to go, and I won't be medically cleared to go. So looks like my days of playing BYU football are behind me. Which absolutely breaks my heart. It's so sad. I worked my tail off to get back, and it just never got better.
No way around this one, Blaine. Mm. It hurts, and you feel terrible for Ben because, like he said, he worked so hard to recover and have one more go. Pro football aspirations. How do you assess this scenario, and how does it impact BYU football?
It's hard. It doesn't impact them as much because he missed last year. Right? But remember, he was the leading tackler the year before and the year before that. And the heart and soul of this defense. Like, he was the guy that elevated everyone's play around him. When you look at his numbers, 247 career tackles, 15 and a half tackles for loss, 3 picks, 3 sacks. This is a guy that is going to be missed. Maybe not quite as badly had he played last season, and it was just announcing it now. They tried to figure out a way. They brought in some players. I think they're really healthy at linebacker in terms of depth and talent. But his leadership may be the thing.
Yes.
And the edge that he plays with may be the thing that they miss the most. And we're going to have Ben in, and he's going to talk to us face-to-face right here in the studio in just a little bit.
Jay Hill is a guy that is big on trust. And you know who he trusted at the linebacker yes. position? Ben Bywater. Not saying that he didn't bring over a great one in Jack Kelly to assume a lot of that role, but Ben was also a vocal leader. Yeah. Jack's kind of a silent assassin. Like he doesn't say a ton. He speaks volumes with his play. Ben's a guy that uplifts naturally and is in guys' faces positively. It just hurts. There's no way around it. Yeah. Losing Ben Bywater is a huge bummer to open up fall camp for BYU.
Leadership and experience are things that are hard to replace. And BYU's got a lot of good young linebackers. I like you mentioning Jack Kelly, but Jack Kelly sets the tone by just smacking people. Like, he hits people so hard that even his teammates go, ooh, that was nasty. But he's not like Ben, at least not at this point. And so they'll definitely miss Ben Bywater. You mentioned Kalani commenting on a lot of stuff yesterday. He spoke to the media about the quarterbacks splitting reps in a split team session yesterday, which was interesting. They divided the team up, and they divided the coaches up, and they literally held two practices simultaneously, like side by side on two ends of the field.
Yeah, we've never seen anything like this in a recent BYU football training camp, certainly.
No, and it's the purpose. I talked to a coach that I know really well last night. The purpose is, here for the first couple of days, it really allows them to get eyes on more players. More players getting more reps when you're actually running two practices simultaneously. And you would think, well, how does the guys over on this side that are coaching see the guys over on this side? Well, film's a big thing anyhow. So you're going to watch every minute of every tape. But I kind of like this concept. Never heard of it before. Here's Kalani talking about how it impacted the quarterbacks and how they split reps.
Well, you saw what we did today, so we split it to get more reps, which is going to be, it's good for both sides, but it'll tax on you a little bit. But in order for us to get reps for everybody and to compete, we have to do that.
He wants to open up the competition to everyone, and he wants to make sure everyone is visible to the coaches on the staff in some capacity. These early days, clearly, based on this approach and what Kalani just said, are going to be used to figure out, okay, who ultimately after a week do we need to give the majority of the reps to? This is your opportunity. So if these young guys and guys that are maybe off the coach's radar, this is the week, Blaine, for them to try and prove, like, hey, you need to take a closer look at me.
Right, and here's the fun thing for this. When you come, say you're a freshman coming in and you're wildly talented, you come into fall camp, you just by nature, you being the new guy, you're 3 or 4 on the depth chart, which means in the first couple of practices, if you're practicing as one group, you're getting very few reps because the ones are getting the most. Maybe they're splitting with the twos. By the time it gets to you, you're not getting much. Now you split them in half. If you're a 3, you're getting half the reps on one side of the field. If you're a 4, you're getting half the reps on the other side of the field. This format allows Kalani and his staff to get a good look at everyone, especially a good look at these young players. And I think that there's a number of young guys on this roster that are really physically gifted that may be able to play and contribute this year as true freshmen or return missionary freshmen. That now they're getting a good look. Even if they're 3 or 4 on the depth chart, they're getting a good look these first few days of practice. I like this concept.
Let's keep this high pace rolling with different sound bites from day one of fall camp. There are two position groups specifically that have had the most and loudest questions surrounding them after last season. That are that of the quarterbacks and certainly of the offensive line. Those questions are as loud as the shirts that we are wearing today, Blaine. Yes.
Did we choose
Holy
some shirts?
Cow. Well,
I look at us side by side in the monitor. I'm like, wow.
Let's address.
Those are some fancy guys.
You kind of have to talk about it, right? Like we had to talk about the issues with the offensive line. Not surprisingly, Kalani Sitake watching that group very closely yesterday. This is what he had to say about the offensive line.
But I'm always going to look at the front and see how good we did there. It's easier for me to see today from the O-line that it was clean, a lot of the looks. I don't think Jay was doing too much on defense, but it's good that the O-line weren't making a lot of mistakes and we were actually able to move the ball. So we'll see if they can do that against the install for tomorrow with defense. But TJ Woods has made a big difference for that front, and that's something that I was eyeballing today.
Okay. Encouraging comments on the offensive line. Kalani's a veteran here. He's been through a lot of fall camps. He's not going to offer up the brash overreaction. That's for us to do, right?
That's right.
Gross overreactions after day one. What'd you think about what he had to say specifically about the offensive line?
I agree with, hey, it's a good chance to see whether they're clean or not. Remember, the biggest problem for BYU's offensive line last season wasn't, oh, they're physically outmanned. The defense is just pushing them around. We didn't see that. Like, I'd see our inability to run the football, go back and watch the tape and go, where are these guys going? Like, what's this guy doing? Why is this guy unblocked? It wasn't, oh, my goodness, why is our right tackle getting knocked into the backfield? Why is Connor Pay not able to hold his block? That wasn't the case.
It was just straight missed assignments.
Kalani's word was they looked clean, meaning they looked assignment sound on day one. And important because, remember, the first 2 days are just helmets, not even shoulder pads. So you really can't get a feel for offensive linemen's their complete package, especially the new guys, until they hit somebody and see if they can hold a block and do all that. But what Kalani was looking at yesterday was the biggest problem last year up front was assignment errors. How did that look on day one? And what he said was it looked clean. That is encouraging to me because we know there's dudes that can play up front physically.
Yes.
If they're clean, they'll take a big step forward, and I like that. So that's what I take from that comment. This is the comment that they were clean on day one without pads on is encouraging to me.
He offered up the caveat that Jay Hill is not throwing out exotic defensive fronts to try and confuse the offensive line, but when you ease into camp, you just want to see. After the issues that were so consistent last year, basic assignments playing, You have to kind of go slowly into this and say, all right, are we assignment sound? And he says that they were. That matters.
He also mentioned T.J. Woods. And all the feedback through spring ball from the players to us that play up front, it was all about, oh, we love his teaching methods.
Accountability.
We love how he individualizes the way he teaches each player. And he's reaching and touching the part of the brain for each guy that's most effective, and he's not coaching everybody the same way. And this is the feedback from the players, which when you think about it, that's really important as a coach, right? To tailor the coaching style to the players so that they learn. And Kalani mentioned, this has been really good for us. We were assignment sound today. Maybe that individualized teaching method of TJ has paid off. We'll see as they put pads on and they start running different defenses and trying to confuse and do all that if it really paid off as this fall camp progresses. So.
Couple of things the offensive line are focused on, I can guarantee you that. One, run the ball. Two, protect the quarterback. But who in the world is going to be the quarterback? One of the guys in the mix, one of the front runners, Gary Bohannon, the transfer from Baylor and USF, spoke to the media yesterday about the importance of the quarterback specifically in that running game behind the offensive line.
Once you run the ball a couple times as a quarterback, they have to respect it. They have to keep a guy backside looking for you. That might hold a guy to lead up to that cutback being able to hit for 30, 40 yards down the field because that guy respected the quarterback carrying out his fake. So it's big on our part to just carry out our fakes and hold guys when we don't have the ball. Because once you get one, I mean, now they're like, okay, we got to watch this guy now, and that opens up the run game. So as big as a part of the running back play, we play the same role.
Gary is telling us a lot. You might not think he is, but he is telling us a lot. Blaine, he's telling us that he's ready to run the football. Yeah, and he's ready to make defenses have to respect his ability to use his feet and extend plays and break off big runs if Gary Bohannon is the guy. And I said yesterday, I'm leaning that direction. I know it's early, but if he is the guy, he and everybody else knows the importance of the running ability of the BYU quarterback. You think about the success of Aaron Rodgers' offenses recently. What have the successful quarterbacks been able to do? Zach Wilson, Jaren Hall, extend plays, use their feet to rip off some big plays, so you have to respect it.
And I would submit that Bohannon is a little more like Taysom with size and strength. You just saw those numbers. He's a 1,000-yard career rusher as a quarterback, and he's had some injuries. That tells you a lot. What I love about what he explained is when a quarterback's involved in the run game, most of the time you say, well, it's always 10 on 11. Because the quarterback's going to hand the ball off in the run game, and he's not going to go block somebody. He's not going to lead block. When he is an effective runner, he holds a player or two. Now it's 11 on 11, and that's what Gary was talking about. I like it.
So much to discuss. We're just getting this thing rolling. Our question of the day, what was your biggest takeaway after day one of BYU football fall camp? Jason Oakes on Instagram answers, BYU's got to figure out quick who's QB1 and who takes over at linebacker. We're going to ask Ben Bywater, who will join us on the show today, who he thinks is the guy to try and replace his very big shoes. And is it a guy that is already filling that role? Has somebody already stepped up, Blaine, because they've maybe known for a little while?
Like, you know, there's spring ball dictated some stuff with guys like Taggart and Kelly and,
for sure,
and Glasker. But I'm interested to see what Ben says, because he's been really, really close to it, and we'll ask him that question. So, hey, the fall sports season begins on Saturday when BYU women's soccer rolls out its annual blue-white scrimmage. Live coverage from Southfield starts 9 Eastern time on the BYU TV app and on Big 12 now on ESPN+.
10 seniors graduated, a couple of key injuries. This is a brand new team. So the blue and white game takes on extra precedence. Up next, we'll hear more from head coach Kalani Sitake about the quarterback battle, the impact of losing his linebacker star Ben Bywater, and more of what stood out to him on day one. This is BYU Sports Nation.
It's good that the O-line weren't making a lot of mistakes. All four quarterbacks did a great job today. They've been through, position battles and things like that. We were actually able to move the ball. Those guys are all very comfortable.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. We are into August and into BYU football fall camp. Alongside Blaine Fowler, I am Spencer Linton. Yesterday, our colleague Dave McCann spoke at length with BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake one-on-one after practice to go in-depth everything the coach saw and that stood out to the man in charge. This is Dave McCann one-on-one with Kalani Sitake.
Coach, welcome back. Your 9th time opening up a fall camp at BYU. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I'm getting old, man. I mean, I'm really honored and excited that we're going into the 9th season that I've been here. But, growing up BYU, it's football season just makes sense around the fall. And so just really excited that we can get to the season. Obviously not happy about how everything went last year, but really excited about what we've done so far in 24 and looking forward to the season. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Considering all of that, does this start mean the most to you? I mean, you've had 8 previous starts, but this seems to be the big one.
Yeah, I think it's because this is the next one, you know. Yeah. But I think the guys have had this huge sense of urgency to get back on the field the entire year. And so there's been a different feeling to this year than others. Maybe it's because of the performance that wish we would have done better, and so a lot of guys. It's also there's some new things last year. It was uncharted territory, and so now we know what to expect, and we want our guys to, they want to be at their best, and I don't think we're at our best consistently enough last year. We're looking forward to doing that this time.
Down in Las Vegas, you said to the media when they were asking about expectations, they said people don't know what you guys know. And today was your first taste of seeing that. You feel that what you've got going on here is kind of a secret?
Yeah, I think everybody's just focused on what they saw last year. But, we had some really cool moments and some moments that didn't look as good. But we know what we're about. And like I said, I get to see it every day. I see the improvement that these guys have made from last year to this year, even from spring ball to now. And so just really excited, and I wouldn't be excited if I didn't have high expectations from this group. But we know it's going to take a lot more work. We utilize all the practice time that we have, and we're really antsy and ready to get going.
Quarterback is always a story in your program. When you have two of them, it's a bigger story. Jake Bohannon Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff. How do you see that playing out? And do you kind of already know who you're going to go with?
No, I mean, I'm thankful that we have those two and that we have two more. And so I like that. I don't expect us going to 4 quarterbacks, but this is a violent game, so you never know. And we just want to be ready for everything. And it just happens that we have guys that have all played Division I football and have started games in Division I football. I don't know how many programs can say that. We can. It just happens that Jake and Gary are the ones that are going to compete for the starting spot. But the other two, Trayson and McKay, are in competition too. So the goal is for all of us to get better, and competition will do that. And I look forward to seeing who emerges as a starting quarterback. But it'll be the guy that we can count on the most to put points on the board and to get us wins.
Maybe the biggest question mark out of all four is Gary, because he didn't play last year. Mm-hmm. And the question on his shoulder, and is he healthy? He looked fine today. All the guys during the summer said he's throwing just fine. Any hesitation at all physically for Bohannon?
No, it's a night and day difference for him from spring ball to now. It's why the competition. I mean, I thought Jake did a great job too, and Trayson and seeing those guys, the quarterbacks, play. But You know, we knew that he could be healthier. We knew that he'd be in a better position. Today was proof of that. And when we saw him throw the ball and not have to worry about it, I think he was a little guarded in spring ball and let the competition begin. I mean, I think Jake looked great too. So their job is to make it hard on all of us, all four of them. But those two specifically are supposed to make it really hard on myself and A-Rod. And it wouldn't hurt to have all four guys be ready to roll and win games with them. And we go with the guy that's leading the way. But that's the goal, is to make sure that we get the right guy that earned it, and that the other three make sure that they improve and get better as well.
Offensive line was such a concern for you coming out of last season that you changed coaches. So T.J. Mm-hmm. Woods is on the job for his first fall camp at BYU. We've heard amazing things about him. How is he resonating with that group up front?
This is a real deal, and then you don't need me to say it. You can ask the players that he's coaching. I think if you ask Connor and Keim and all the guys, that they'll tell you the same thing. So, and it's not because he's easy, you know. So he puts them through a lot of hard work, but he's instructing them and he's working with them and he's mentoring them. So I think they understand the game and the scheme a lot better. You know, that's just one of the ways that we've improved. But I know that those guys coming back and having some experience behind them is going to be helpful for our team. But TJ is an amazing coach. That's why we brought him here.
First official fall practice with Keanu Hill playing at tight end. Mm-hmm. How's that looking?
Yeah, he looks great. I mean, he's big and heavy now. So, I mean, he's way different. The number one doesn't look the same that it used to, but he can block and he's doing all the things right. I think he's been a great leader for us and our team. I'm just looking forward to him. You know, breaking plays, and that's whether he has the ball in his hands or not. He makes an impact on the field.
Running the football, another concern coming in. Hinkley Rapati, Miles Davis, L.J. Martin, what else?
Yeah, I mean, those are the three that you mentioned, and then you have Pokai and Sione, and I mean, there's and Jovessel. So there's guys that we know that can play, but I think the bulk of the reps will go to those three that you mentioned, and they got to compete, but we know that Hinkley can do it. We know that LJ can do it, and we know that Miles can do it. So I don't understand. I know that people have some concern, but those three have all played a lot of games, and this isn't going to be brand new to them. And so I'm actually feeling a lot more confident with them than everybody else.
Let's finish on a bit of a downer with Ben Bywater, who announcing after practice that his days are over. Here's a guy who's been your leading tackler whenever he's been on the field. And now he's gone. Did you see it coming? Were you able to prepare that you might not have him? Or how big of a blow is this?
Yeah, we knew that this could be a possibility, and it's why we brought Jack from the portal. It's why we moved guys like Ice Moa to linebacker. It's why we brought Che on our team from linebacker. So we've kind of prepped for it and anticipated that this could be a possibility, but also wanted to improve our depth and competition. I think the other guys are ready to go. I think they're ready to replace him, and it's a hard. It's going to be hard to replace Ben, but I know we're closer to do it with these guys, with Ace Kafusi and Isaiah Glasker and Harrison Taggart, and so I mean all these guys are ready to go. There's a lot of talent there. I'm leaving out a bunch of guys too, but I feel good about them. I mean, Ciala Serra's back, so there's a bunch of guys and a lot of talent, and we'll still need Ben to be a leader and to teach them and mentor them along the way. So his role has just moved from player to coach, and it's what he did second half of the year last year, so he's used to it. You know, it's just unfortunate that we weren't able to get him back and be ready, but it was a devastating injury. So my concern is for him and his livelihood after, like what's the lifestyle is going to be like, and there's still a chance that he could play football. It's just not the risks are not going to, it's not going to be this year. It's just way too high of a risk to put him into that much, and that'd be inappropriate for us to ask him to do that. So we're really thankful for him. I mean, I love Ben. That's my guy. I personally recruited him, you know, so we have a great relationship. I love his family, and so we're looking forward to him getting healthy and then him still being part of our team, just in a different role.
The trainers are saying it's a mandatory ice plunge for everybody at practice. Does that include you?
No. I think the players – there's mandatory conditioning too. I'm not doing any of that, so I will not be doing the mandatory ice plunge. That's for the guys that did all the sweating. I've been chewing gum and eating sunflower seeds. I don't need that right now. I mean, maybe if it keeps getting hotter, I might have to do it just for a quick second. But yeah, these guys need all the work and they need all the recovery. I won't waste any resources on me.
Welcome back. It's good to see you.
Let's go. Go Cougs. Love you guys.
really for the first time since the transition from 2017 to 2018, Kalani and his staff are in a position where they're working with extremely low expectations. And I get it. BYU's coming off five consecutive losses. You know, they're 5-2 and then sputtered, did not make a bowl game. But Blaine, tell me there is not, you cannot sense just this added level of motivation and just steely determination to prove people wrong.
It's interesting because you can feel it from the interview, but I can tell you, talking to Kalani in private, which you and I get to do quite a bit, he is just fine with what everybody's expectations are. Like, he loves this idea that everybody thinks they're not going to be any good, because he is very determined, as are his players, to prove everybody wrong. They're going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder all season long and say, yeah, you thought we would underperform. That didn't happen. So, yeah, I love that. You can feel it from the interview. When you talk to him in person, you can really feel it.
He knows.
Yeah.
He knows. He's aware.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, if you missed any interviews, shows, or games, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app to get all the BYU TV sports content on demand.
After the break, as promised, linebacker Ben Bywater joins us in studio live to discuss the decision to step away from football, take a look back on his career, and discuss who's stepping in to replace his shoes. This is BYUSN.
By the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Your health is first and foremost. I can't isolate myself. I gotta be around people I love.
And love says, I want what's best for you.
I feel like for my job, just get in there, mentor, be the best person I can be.
The great Ben Bywater.
Indeed, the great Ben Bywater. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation alongside Blaine Fowler. I'm Spencer Linton. We have moved over to the Cougar Council Room in Studio B to welcome in the Double B, Ben Bywater, who is so kind to join us after what has been an emotional roller coaster for sure, Ben. And you revealed it publicly yesterday to several members of the media and the world in large part that you are stepping away from football. So just take us into your mindset and the timeline of when you first realized, oh my gosh, I might be done playing football.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So I'll just take you back to when I got hurt. So I hit my shoulder versus Kansas, and I had torn my left labrum twice, right? So, like, for me, as soon as I hit my shoulder, I was like, I ran over the sideline. You know, I'm emotional just because I know, like, this is torn, right? But then, obviously, I'm like, I'm going to try and get back. I'm trying to get better. I'm going to play versus TCU. And over the next few days, like, I couldn't move my arm. Like, it was, like, just not routine. It didn't feel like my other shoulders. And I was like, something is wrong. So I went and got a bunch of opinions from surgeons. And thank heavens we went and got an EMG. And we looked at my nerve. And my nerve was, like, completely shut off in my arm. I was like, so that's when kind of, like, it got real for, like, me and my family. It was like, all right, this is not just a little labrum. Like, I got to, like, take care of this. So I didn't get surgery for another 2-3 months. They were trying to get my shoulder to heal. And it was really, like, the hardest part was, like, nobody had answers. You know what I'm saying? So it was, like, I was, like, trying to figure out, me and my family trying to figure out. And BYU, we got a great training staff. They took care of me. I had the best surgeons in the world work on me. Like, it really was just the severity of the injury. So that was, you know, I got another surgery in February, went and did the stem cell, did everything I could. And, it really, beginning of July, I was telling you guys earlier, that's when the light was just like, okay, I need to figure this out, because it hadn't gotten better. I have no deltoid, like, just skin and bone on that right arm. It's crazy. So I'm very grateful. Like, you know, the coaches let me still work, and we were really, everybody was all hands on deck trying to get me back. Monday we just had a conversation, all the whole training staff, all the surgeons, all the team doctors, all of us in a room, and it was just like, all looking at each other and just, you know, gratitude and love and smiles. And just like, you know, like, ultimately I didn't get cleared. I didn't get cleared, and I'm not going to get cleared this year. So part, you know, they want my best long-term health interest. They're interested in my long-term health. And part me too, you know, I don't want to.
You don't have a total shoulder at 25 years old, right? You have a total shoulder replacement at 25. Yeah,
exactly.
Emotionally, take us through that part of it, these ups and downs, because this has been 11 months of, you mentioned, let's prehab it and see how that goes. Let's see if we can get the strength back and get that nerve firing again. And then it's like, okay, it's not doing great. So now let's have surgery and let's go through recovery. So this whole time, the mindset is I got to get back. And so it's been 11 months. What's that been like emotionally for you?
That's great. Like last year, I was teed up. Like I felt like everything was rolling my way, right? I had my agent selected. Felt like all my invites were pending. I was on track to just like my dream of playing the NFL and playing 12 games and, you know, balling and leaving BYU on a high note. That was like, it was all working out for me. And then obviously this happened, and really it's been faith building. Like, it's just like, okay, God has a plan for me, you know, obviously like that was my plan, and I'm getting redirected here. So like, you know, not to sound cliche or corny, but like I really have, that's calmed my anxiety. Just like God has a plan for me. Whatever's supposed to happen is supposed to happen. It happens for you, not to you. And I just control what I can, right? Like I'm seeing the best surgeons. I'm working my tail off day in, day out. So if I can control those inputs, like I'm happy. You know, I can lay my head on my pillow at night just smiling, and whatever output, you know, and obviously the output is me stepping away and moving on. But, you know, I'm just so grateful. Like I said, man, what a blessing that I was able to live out my dream.
Wow.
That's an amazing
mindset.
That is
an incredible perspective.
Hey, for my mom, we call Mama Fowler, right? She always had this quote. I'm sure she got it from somebody else, but as you were saying that, it came to mind. She said, life is what happens while you're making other plans. Mm. So it just comes at you, and God has a plan for you, and you can make all these plans, and then life happens. And it sounds like that's the mentality you've had through all of this, which is really commendable.
Yeah, and like, don't get me wrong, it's been hard, but like I've torn this shoulder twice. Like I feel like I've been weathered through the storm, you know, up until this point. Like, I mean, I really do believe God was looking out for me. He gave me a year to kind of like, you know, it didn't happen overnight. This has been a year I haven't played ball, so maybe that's part of it. You know, I don't know all the answers. I'm trying to figure it out as I go, but man, like these past 2 days have been so cool. Everyone that's been in my corner and been part of me, part of this journey with me from the start, like them calling me, sending me texts and love, like it's been just like, I'm so great. Like such a cool thing, you know, like why did I get to live out this dream and have this cool experience and be talking to you guys? Like nothing but gratitude.
Ben, there are a lot of BYU fans that are in a worse place mentally over your situation than you are.
this is so true.
They're not handling it the way that you are. It's crazy.
I've cried my tears. Trust me. Cried my tears, but it's all happy, you know? It's all happy. We're going to be okay. And I will say, this is my favorite linebacker crew I have been a part of. Like, these boys are good, fast, physical, best athletes in that linebacker crew I've been a part of. So, boy, like, you know, if you're watching this and you're a fan of me, you will be a fan of the next guy.
So I want to get to that, but first, what's next for you? What's your plan? And then we're going to come back to that, because Spencer and I were saying, when we get Ben in here, we want to know what he thinks of this crew.
Maybe there's a role for you to coach those guys a little bit this year.
I'm not ruling it out, baby. I'm not ruling it out. But next for me is I'm trying to figure, you know, it's been interesting, right? Like I got a finance degree, right? And like, I always was like, hey, I'm more than a football player. But now like push comes to shove, football's out of the cards. I'm like, what am I doing? You know, like what's the plan? So yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. I've been fortunate enough. I've interned with some great companies, Pelion Venture Partners. They're one of them. And you know, Blake Moderitsky has been so good to me, you know, let me be in there, rub shoulders with the right people. So doing that right now, but I'm, you know, as of now, just going to figure out, I want to do, you know, be in that space, right? Venture, private equity, real estate. So yeah, one of those things that, you know, I'm trying to figure that out just like how I did with football. So that's my next step.
Listen, I'm getting visions of David Nixon in my mind right now, like, that little career path. Yeah, but David's also carved out a TV career as well.
Yeah, yeah. So you could do that too, perhaps. You could be here with us.
I love David Nixon. He texted me last night. What a good dude, man. Yeah.
A great, great player. Played 4 seasons in the National Football League, so, and then cool. It came to an end for him. And, man, he's just done great things in finance and commercial real estate. And
he's always smiling. Yeah. He's always such a good dude. I love that guy.
He is. So. All right, on to the linebacker room. You mentioned that you feel like this is the best room and there's a load of talent right there. What are you seeing, Ben, that makes you feel like that group specifically is going to be ready to rock in year 2 of Jay Hill's defense?
Yeah. Well, so like I didn't play last year. I only played 4 games. So a lot of those guys got experience. And I always felt like I was a really good athlete. You know, I'd be in the weight room. I'd be running. I'm like beating people. I'll feel good. These linebackers are like whooping me and every squat more than me, running faster than me. I'm like, golly, these guys are good. Like I'm getting older, boys. But no, like they look good. The mindset is good. Like, and they're just a close knit group. That's what I've loved so much is like, yeah, it's competitive. Yeah, it's going to be cutthroat in the fall, but like you wouldn't know, right? We did a lot of fun stuff, and obviously these boys, Jack Kelly, I'm so stoked about. I'm excited.
Yeah, tell people, we've been talking about Jack because he pops out off the field when you're not watching. What's your thought on Jack Kelly? Is he a guy that can come in and help take some of that leadership role and do some of the things that you did?
100%. And he's going to be making plays all over the field. Like, he's a little bit quieter, right?
Yeah.
He's a quieter guy. But, I mean, everybody respects him, right? They respect him, and I respect him. Like, I watch his game. I'm like, geez, Louise, I gotta step my game up. This guy's a stud. And so one of those kids that I just love and respect, and I want him to be successful, and I know he will be because he's got the work ethic for it. So, I mean, you see him last year, right? I think he was he first or second in FCS, I know, in the Big Sky for sacks. So, I mean, the guy can do it all, right? He's fast. He can rush. He can drop into coverage, and then he's a down-to-down backer as well.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy that I look at and go, how does this guy not end up at Utah or BYU or someplace like that out of school? But he was just a little undersized coming out, and now he is not undersized.
Oh, jeez. He squatted 5'10", 8 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Like a piston in a car.
That's unbelievable.
5'10", 8 times. Up, down, up, down. I was like, I've never seen anything like it.
Spencer and I squatted 8 500 pounds. Is what we did.
100%.
We all have our own individual goals.
That's right.
That's for sure. Okay, let's be nostalgic a little bit
and
reminisce a little, specifically as it pertains to your BYU football career. When you look back on everything you've accomplished at BYU, what's the moment that stands out as like, man, that was the best time or the best game? Like, what is at the top of the list?
Yeah, no, I think one of my favorite moments was getting my first career start, because up until that point, I had dealt with a season ender. And just like a lot of things in my personal life had just were really hard on me, you know, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to manifest this, work my tail off. Like, up until that point, probably the hardest I've ever worked for something. And I just remember it was Arizona in 2021, and I'm in the hotel, and I called my dad and just broke down in tears, and we cried. Like, you know, me and my dad are so close. So that was special. So, I mean, personally, that was the moment for me. It's just, and that's what football, you know, football's brought my family so close, and it's been such a fun thing for all of us to enjoy. And so that's going to be hard, but that for sure personally was one of the most special moments. And so that, and then obviously beating Utah in 2021, that was so fun. And playing at Lavelle, you guys know, hard to beat. Hard to beat.
Yeah.
Special.
You started the win streak against Utah.
Hey, you said it, not me.
There you go. Great stuff. Ben, we're so proud of you and everything you've accomplished at BYU, and we appreciate the time here in Studio B.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, Blaine, let's go to break, because we've got more to do, including an interview with assistant coach Kelly Papinga, who goes one-on-one with Dave McCann. What stood out to Kelly about the defensive side of the ball yesterday? This is BYUSN. Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Blaine Fowler. Just had a fantastic conversation with Ben Bywater. If you missed it, watch it on demand. Now let's get to your Tuesday, or is it?
Today's Wednesday.
Thursday headlines.
I'm the one that just was in Europe and flew for 36 hours, and I think I knew it was Thursday until you just confused me.
Sorry. Tuesday, Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Sometimes they're close together.
Thursday.
Okay. They sound close. Late. Come on. All right. Start us off with the headlines.
And it's day two. Tough news out of day one of fall camp is BYU linebacker Ben Bywater spoke to the media about how BYU football playing days are behind him due to this shoulder injury. We had a nice conversation with him just now. Here's what he had to say yesterday.
That is not good. It's obviously an Almond Street close right now. Wish I was out there with those guys. But you had some tough conversations the other day where my shoulders, you know, I'm not cleared to go, not medically cleared to go, and I won't be medically cleared to go. So it looks like my days of playing BYU football are behind me, which absolutely breaks my heart. It's so sad. I worked my tail off to get back, and it just never got better.
You know what will get better? His life. He's going to do great things.
Yes.
Yeah. He's going to do great things. Head coach Kalani Sitake hoping that his team in 2024 does great things. He spoke to the media and was asked if he has a timetable of when BYU will name their next starting quarterback.
Right now, I can tell you it's not going to happen this week, you know, but and both guys did a great job. And then, I mean, all four quarterbacks did a great job today, but their job is to make it hard on us to make the decision. But I feel comfortable having a bunch of guys that can do it.
When do you think it's going to happen, Blaine? If you had to put a date on it, it's August 1st today.
Week 3.
Early week 3?
Week 3. Yeah.
Okay.
That seems fair to me. That gives them an opportunity. I think that's soon enough to have somebody established. So I'm going to go with week three. That's my over-under, week three. So.
All right.
And speaking of, transfer quarterback Gary Bohannon talked to the media yesterday about how he's liking running this BYU offense so far.
I want to say that it's balanced. I mean, we could go out there and put up 50 to win. We can take in the overtime and put up 21 points to win. The run game's good. We kind of do some of everything and try to exploit the ball to all of our weapons. So I think that's one of the things that really complement this offense is the explosiveness, the run ability, everything about it. The play action is very open. So I think that's one of the things that still stands out.
BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff also competing intensely for the starting job. He discussed how big of a difference being at BYU through the spring and summer has been preparing for this season compared to where he was last year.
It's a world of difference. Anybody who's played this position knows that the more years you got in an offense, the more you know, the more further you'll be along. I think I took a huge step from a year ago to today. There's definitely big improvements in my game, especially within this offense. And so I feel like I'm showcasing that more and more every day.
All right, football out.
Yeah. It's crazy. I love that we have all this football, but let's turn to the Olympics and talk about Jimmer Fredette for a minute. Jimmer and Team USA 3x3, they lost their second game in a row. They start 0-2 in pool play over in Paris. They lose to Poland 19-17. Jimmer left that game with a little bit of an injury. He got treated. He came back into the game. They have two games today, back in action. They need to get on a win streak right now if they're going to get out of pool play. They just can't finish in the bottom two.
Jimmer's questionable to play. I'm concerned. Former BYU linebacker Max Tooley makes his NFL preseason debut tonight when the Houston Texans take on the Chicago Bears in the preseason Hall of Fame game.
And 49ers linebacker Fred Warner named to the top, or 11th in the top 100. Yeah, this man is a monster. What's really good about this one is this is the poll of players that are in the league.
Yes.
This is the most important one to anybody. This isn't the media. This is players number 11 in the top 100. And Puka Nacua also came in that top 100 players in the league.
Your peers vote on this.
This is
the
most important one, what your peers think of you in the league.
Puka at number 33, Fred Warner at 11. And finally, good luck to current BYU golfers Cooper Jones and Cole Ponich, former BYU golfers Daniel Summerhays, Peter Quest, Max Brenchley and Carson Lundell, who are all set to tee it up today at Oak Ridge Country Club in the opening round of the Korn Ferry Tour's Utah Championship. We mentioned the Kelly Papinga interview. We've been so busy today. We don't have time to air the entirety of that. You can see all of it on our BYU Sports Nation YouTube page right now. So fear not. You can still
you can go catch it.
What you need to hear from K-pop and everything that's going on. I had an opportunity to speak with him on Saturday night after the 100 seasons of BYU football gala, and he's locked in.
They're ready to go.
We talked about Kalani being a guy that's feeling that urgency and just they have that steely determination. K-pop is at the core of that. He's at the heart of that. I don't know many guys that are bigger fans of BYU that also happen to be a former player and now on the current staff.
Other than Kalani, right?
Here's
the good news for K-pop. One of the most talented, deepest groups on the team now, which is different than it has been. That defensive end group is stacked with talent this year, so he's got a good group to work with.
Great stuff. Again, that Kelly Papinga interview available in its entirety right now on our BYU Sports Nation YouTube page. Okay, up next. If you didn't see it on social media today, well, good news. We're about to show it to you. BYU has revealed the uniform combinations they will wear in all 12 games this season. Cannot wait to break this down. Find out what you think about what the Cougars are wearing against Utah. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. You know BYU football season is just about to kick off. When we start to receive the uniform announcements, and in previous years, it was often, Blaine, on like a week-to-week basis where it would be revealed every Monday. Well, BYU football, they just unveiled everything for all 12 games this season, and we're going to take you through all 12 of those contests and what BYU will wear. The fresh threads are out for all to see, beginning with game number one against Southern Illinois. The Cougars going with the Royal helmet, that white face mask, Royal jersey, Royal pants. So only the white face mask. Other words, it's a Royal out, Blaine.
Yeah, I like anything with Royal in it, as does Kalani. That's his favorite.
Game two at SMU, Navy helmet. Again, the white face mask, white with Navy trim, jersey, and pants. This is a clean
look. I was just going to say, this is one of the cleanest looks they have. I like this, too.
Game three at Wyoming. What are they going to wear at War Memorial Stadium to spurn the Wyoming fans? Well, it's a Royal helmet, Royal face mask, white with Royal trim, jersey, and pants. Again, the word clean comes to mind.
Is September 14th too early for it to snow in Laramie? Because the white unis would be an advantage up there if it snows. I'm saying
ice
it
cold.
Could snow in September in Laramie.
Game four, Kansas State. Blaine, I know you feel strongly about this one. I know I do. I've been asking for this for at least a decade. The drop shadow numbers in a whiteout with a royal blue face mask. Blaine, this is my favorite uniform.
This is the Kansas State throwback uni.
Yeah.
This is 1996. Go thump Kansas State and finish number five in the country uni. Very appropriate that they get Kansas State and they wear that uniform.
I need that jersey.
Yes.
I need the throwback drop shadow jersey.
I love it.
Game five at Baylor. White helmet, royal face mask, white with royal trim, jersey, and pants. A lot of white in the early part of the season.
And you know, it's just a clean look. It looks good. I'm all about it. And I love that they have all these different uniform combinations. Now, after BYU's first bye week, that first weekend in October, they come back to Provo to play Arizona.
Okay.
And in the Arizona game, they go white helmet, royal face mask, royal jersey, and white pants.
Blaine, this is just tradition. This just screams old school tradition BYU football.
To me, I bet Kalani likes this one. Because
this is what he grew up on. Yes.
Right. Game seven, Oklahoma State. They go white helmet, white face mask, royal jersey, and white pants. And that's also kind of throwback traditional for BYU. And I like it. I think it looks... I told you already, Royal is my favorite. I love the Royals. It's distinct for BYU.
It pops. It looks fantastic.
So let's stay on the Royal theme, and let's move to game eight at Central Florida. Royal helmet, royal face mask, white jersey, royal pants.
This is quickly becoming maybe my favorite uniform combination. BYU did this, or something very close to it, at USC in 2021. They came walking down the tunnel of the Coliseum, and I was like, oh my.
Yeah.
I'm feeling things in my heart right now.
Bye week that next week as the Cougars get ready to travel north to play Utah. So this is the big announcement.
All Royal. Helmet, face mask, jersey, pants. There will be no confusion as to which team BYU is on that field.
And let's just say that BYU's only worn this combination three times in history. They're 3-0.
Woo!
I like
all
that against
Royal?
Utah. 3-0 in this uni combination.
Mm. Game 10 against Kansas. Again, the Royal helmet, white face mask, Royal jersey, white pants. There's a lot of blue on the field against Kansas in that game.
Yeah.
11 at Arizona State, Royal helmet, white face mask, white jersey, Royal pants. Again, I love that combination. All right, Blaine, finish.
Game 12 against Houston, Navy helmet, Navy face mask, Navy jersey, and white pants. Very traditional. To me, there's more Royal in this uniform combination than Navy, which I like.
Yes.
Because I think Royal is BYU's color,
right? It's the
prominent
color.
Yes. Look at our set around here. Look at everything that we do. I love it. I love that there's a lot of Royal, and all of those combos look clean. They look good.
You're a man who understands fashion.
Yes.
Blaine is a man who understands fashion. Trust me.
Look at the shirts we have on today.
Come on. Let's go.
So, and you went with white pants. I went with white shoes.
We went for a subtle approach.
Our combination is, not subtle. Not subtle.
Our question of the day, what was your biggest takeaway from day one of fall camp? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes from Bobo_Sarah on X, who says, definitely the heartbreaking news that Ben Bywater is done playing at BYU because of the damage to his shoulder. I'm glad he's taking care of his health, but sad his days at BYU are over. But my goodness, have that conversation with him. Are you not just incredibly impressed with his attitude?
He's approached us in a great, great way.
Whoa! Today's Rise and Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics, along the lines of Ben Bywater.
That's right. Our thanks to today's guests, Kalani Sitake, Kelly Papinga. Well, you didn't get to come on with us, but watch it on YouTube. and Ben Bywater, of course. The conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Blaine, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Kurt Gavea. We'll see you tomorrow for a Friday edition of BYUSN. Go Cougs.